This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina Board of Elections will not require county election boards to use hand-marked paper ballots. That decision came at a board meeting on Friday. The new chair of the board of directors, Damon Sercosta, split with his fellow Democrats and sided with two Republicans in support of that decision. Election security advocates say electronic voting systems leave the state vulnerable to potential hacking. Meanwhile, a bill to tighten the rules around absentee ballots in the state is moving through the General Assembly. Travis Fain is WRAL's State House reporter. He's been following these stories and joins us now. Travis, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about the decision made by the Board of Elections. What does it mean for North Carolina in upcoming elections?
It's kind of been a long time coming to this. Most people in North Carolina use what I would call like a Scantron ballot, where you fill in a bubble and then you feed it into a machine and it counts your vote. But in about a third of counties, including Mecklenburg and Guilford, so a couple of big ones, people use what's called a DRE. That's a direct record. So you vote on a touchscreen and it records your vote that way. Well, the state of several years back said everybody's got to replace those. By the end of this year, it's been delayed a couple of times. But in order for all these counties, which decide what machines you use, to buy them, well, they can only buy from a certified list. And while there is some equipment available now, like that Scantron system I mentioned that is used in Wake County and in so many other counties, there is new equipment on the market that is not certified. So this was a decision after kind of years of back and forth and a lot of problems at the Board of Elections. At one point, it didn't even exist for a year because of a lawsuit between the governor and the legislature. But on Friday, they finally certified three new systems that counties are going to be able to choose from, not only as they replace these DREs, but also if they want to change up their system in some other way.
We'll talk for a moment briefly about why the state decided we had to change these DREs and get rid of them.
There are a few reasons. If you've ever voted on one or if you've seen news coverage around elections, we always hear about people's votes being changed. Usually it's a calibration issue because when you think about a computer touchscreen, when you touch it, it doesn't know that you voted for Trump or Clinton. It knows you pressed X part of the screen as opposed to Y part of the screen. And so sometimes there's a calibration issue that appears to change people's votes. So obviously people don't trust it. Obviously there are a lot of hacking concerns right now. So anything electronic is suspect. The idea behind hand-marked paper ballots is even though they're counted by a machine, there's still a piece of paper with your vote on it. And if push comes to shove, someone can look at that piece of paper and do a hand recount based on that. So with the DREs, there's this tape that's part of the machine, so there is a paper aspect to it, but it's not it doesn't have the same level of trust for people that a hand-marked paper ballot would.
So generally speaking, the state wanted to replace these machines out of security concerns, and then I understand there's one machine that has just been certified, as you say, a long time coming, but finally a group of machines that counties can choose from. But one of those machines is controversial, and again, security questions seem to be the issue. Tell us about that.
It's a touchscreen machine, and it's used all over the country. And what it does is you vote on the touchscreen, but then it spits out, it prints right there, a ballot that states who you voted for in English that you can read, but also there is a barcode up at top. And that barcode is what another machine actually reads. So the question then becomes, hey, how do I know this barcode is actually what it says I voted for, who I think I voted for? So there are a number of people who don't trust that, a lot of citizen activists, but also a number of groups. The NAACP pushed back against this, the League of Women Voters. The most recent top lawyer for the Board of Elections itself, who left earlier this year, he questioned this. There's a pretty big national conversation, obviously not just on ballot security, but specifically about whether or not we should require hand-marked ballots.
Yeah, and part of the problem is that I'll get my receipt. You print out the names that I did. I can go home with that. But if we need a recount, I got to bring everybody back to the ballot and ask them to save the receipt. So that's not practical. So there's no real readable, legible record of this, of who voted for whom, right? Or not who voted, but how many votes a candidate got.
The ballot that gets spit out, it gets fed into the machine, and I mean, then there's a lockbox. So I mean, the state does have access to these things typically,
mm-hmm.
But it's more about whether or not I can hold in my hand or someone else can hold in their hand and see right. the voter's intent as opposed to a barcode that a computer reads.
Now, interestingly enough, it was that machine that had the elections board deadlocked, two Republicans on the board, two Democrats who were voting against because of this particular machine. And we're going to get into the deadlock. Well, let's talk about that. Why was there, had there been a deadlock, and what happened to bring the election board back to five and break the deadlock?
The Board of Elections has been a mess for a few years. The governor and the Republican majority have been at each other about who should control the appointments. It was 2 years worth of lawsuits. Like I said earlier, at one point, the board just didn't exist for a while. So we finally got back to where we were going to have five members. And we're now on our fourth chairman since we went to those five members, I believe, or third. There's been a lot of turnover. It was a 3-2 decision eventually to it's so complicated. But basically, the chairman told an off-color joke, and that deadlocked the board 2-2. And this was after another member had, I guess, accidentally voted to move toward requiring these hand-marked ballots. So, I mean, like I said, it's a convoluted mess that has gotten us here.
Right. It was
now moving forward.
Previous chairman who had to step down after telling the sexist joke to a group of elections officials. So then that led to the deadlock, which, as you say, was broken. So tell us about this, because it was tied along party lines, Democrats not wanting to see this kind of barcode machine allowed. Republicans were for it, but it was a 2-2. Then Damon Cercosta is named as board chair. And we should point out that the man we're about to talk about, Damon Cercosta, is executive director of the A.J. Fletcher Foundation, and WUNC receives grant money from that foundation. And I know that you, too, Travis, have been transparent about your reporting and WRAL's connections, right?
Yeah, our parent company started this foundation, and our leadership sits on it. I mean, A.J. Fletcher is, you know, a well-known name. Right. In North Carolina, I think. But so Damon joined the board as the new chairman appointed by the governor, and he came down on moving forward with this. He made a number of points as he was explaining his reasoning for this. One, you know, it's up to the counties to decide what to buy, and he wants to give them as many options as possible. He said he had faith in these machines, which, again, are used in quite a few places in the country. And then the company that makes them, a company called ES&S, they're currently the only certified manufacturer of voting machines in North Carolina that we use now. So, you know, again, the Wake County, and I call them Scantron machines because that's what I remember as a kid in school, but that's not really what they're called. They make those. So this is a well-known company that makes election equipment, voting equipment, and is used all over the country.
All right. Well, let's pivot to the 9th Congressional District because their extensive ballot fraud, the ballot fraud case, has spurred a new election in that district. But also a bill to make absentee ballot system more secure. Tell us about that bill.
Yeah, this is a bill that does a number of things. It's kind of billed as a way to crack down on what happened in the 9th District where people were going door to door and collecting absentee ballots. Now, that's already illegal without this new bill, but this is supposed to make it harder. Among other things, it would prohibit people from paying folks to go and collect a certain number of request forms. The way you vote absentee is you have to send something in to request an absentee ballot. They send you the absentee ballot, and then you send the ballot in, so there's a second mail-in that is the actual vote. But what was happening apparently down in Bladen County was people were getting paid to not only collect ballots, but to collect the forms to get people registered. So they're going to make that harder to do. They're also going to pilot something where the state would pay the postage on absentee ballots, the thinking there being, well, maybe people would be less inclined to give their absentee ballot to someone else to mail if it was free to send it in. So just this small incentive. There's a number of other things in there. And to bring it back to the touchscreen machines, there's actually a delay in the ban for these DREs, these touchscreens that are about to be illegal. They would actually delay that another year so we could keep using those things next year as well, potentially, if this bill moves forward as is. So it's kind of a absentee ballot security, and then there are a few other election things in there too, including the DRE machine thing.
Well, I want to talk a minute about that and talk about these machines and the timeliness of this particular decision. But back to absentee ballot, the bill itself, where is it and how likely is it to pass? Do you know?
It will likely pass. It is on the House floor this afternoon at 2 p.m.
And does it have Democratic support as well, or is it the kind of thing that might see a veto? It's
been fairly bipartisan. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. A lot of times in committees, we have what's called a voice vote. So you hear some people say yes, you hear some people say no. You don't know exactly how it all lays out. So we'll get a real good indication, though, of that today on the House floor. I would expect bipartisan support
and
for it.
Briefly, about the machines, we've got two special congressional elections coming up, and then, of course, a March primary that's going to be very important next year, early next year. Is there enough time to test these and get them in place?
Maybe, and there is talk of relaxing a requirement to kind of live fire test these machines before you widespread implement them. We are definitely getting close to the points of no return on that. And in fact, the director of the State Board of Elections had questioned whether or not there was time to do this, and that's one of the reasons for the DRE to wait and not require people to replace those yet.
All right, Travis, thank you so much for talking with us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Travis Fain is a reporter for WRAL. He's the State House reporter there, and you can find links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Raleigh celebrates all things VHS this weekend. Remember to be kind and rewind. You're on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.